Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. When we talk about being blessed, that seems to be a really, vague term. Really. You know, well, God bless you. Okay, with what? Well, good. Well, we'll see you next time. God bless you. So, you know, okay, bless me with what? And it's kind of a catchphrase, but there's more to it than just a statement. In Proverbs chapter 10, look in verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Now this phrase, maketh rich, you know, we see the word rich, and immediately we're thinking of, ooh, boy, money, ooh-ha-ha-ha-ha. You know, I'm going to be a millionaire, whatever. Well, think of it like this. The blessing of the Lord produces increase, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Increase in what? Well, it's a good question. Keep your finger here in Proverbs and turn to James. James chapter 1. And I'll show you. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, when we go back to Proverbs, in verse 22, again, chapter 10, the blessing of the Lord produces increase. Or another way to say that would be, the blessing of the Lord results in every good and perfect gift being received from the Lord. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, produces increase, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now this is really interesting, because what that means is, God cannot bless you with something that results in sorrow. Now let that sink in. Let me give you an example that may not apply to many people. But let's say, you know, Fred, he buys a lottery ticket and he wins. I mean, he wins big time. Well, a year later, Fred is bankrupt. Now, when he won the ticket, when he won the lottery, he's bragging about how God blessed me, and boy, look at this. You know, you talk about the blessing of the Lord making rich. Hoo-wee, look at me. And, you know, I give God all the glory. Stands up in church and testifies. I just give God all the praise, and which is kind of a weird testimony. You know, I went gambling and I won. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You know, go figure on that one. Well, you know, God wasn't the reason that Fred won that lottery. Somebody wins the lottery sooner or later. You know, the odds may be slim, but sooner or later, somebody wins it. Well, Fred just happened to be that sooner or later person. Because you see, God is not going to bless you with anything that's going to result in any kind of sorrow, any kind of distress. It's not going to happen. So every blessing that we receive from God cannot produce sorrow. Now, every blessing that we receive from him is relative to how he sees we need to be blessed. In other words, I could sit here and give God a whole list of things that I would count as a blessing, and he might narrow it down to, like, you know, one thing. Well, you got one out of 50 right, Jim. You know, the rest of these, you think they're blessings, but not where I sit. Well, anyway, every good and perfect gift comes from him. This means everything relative to what I need in life, everything relative to my existence as a Christian, everything relative to how he sees my life can benefit, this comes from him. Now, these blessings, when you talk about life in this world, he'll move on people, and blessings do come from people. Just, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, if you want to talk about money. So anyway, what I'm getting at is the blessing of the Lord produces increase in our lives, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now let me just kind of jump ahead here to try to clarify. Remember when Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you." He said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you." He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now when Jesus opened his mouth and he said that, that was a blessing. Now that means, as far as Christians are concerned, God has blessed us with peace. It's there. Whether or not we receive it is totally up to us. When God opens his mouth and declares a blessing, that means we are now empowered to receive that blessing. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, you know, I give you my peace. It's not the world's kind of peace. I'm giving you my peace." Then he turns around and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Okay. Now, if we want to talk about how to unlock the blessing of peace, the answer is, don't let your heart be troubled. You see this? So when somebody says, "Oh, I just can't take this anymore. I'm just so upset. I just. It's like, well, now hold on. You're letting your heart be troubled. And you cannot appropriate that blessing of peace into your life. Because when Jesus said, "I'm leaving my peace with you. I'm leaving my peace here." That means, to try to create an image, his peace is floating around here. And as long as we allow our hearts to be troubled over anything, then we are not receiving that blessing. We're not unlocking that for our lives. This whole principle started back in Genesis chapter 1. Take a look. Genesis chapter 1. And here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Now look here. "And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, every living thing that moveth upon the earth." He blessed them. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Now when he said that, it activated, if you will, the ability to be fruitful and multiply. I'm trying to create an image here. He spoke it. Now what that means is, from that day forward, that principle exists. Be fruitful and multiply. So now, he said to them, verse 28, God blessed them. You see this? That means it takes a he and a she to be fruitful. You understand what I'm... Okay, yes, Brother Martin, we understand. Okay. He blessed them. So he set into motion, it takes each of you to be fruitful in this multiplication process. You can't do it by yourself. And I know some people are like, well, yes, but you know, the scientists and the test tubes and all. You still have to have part A and part B. You see what I'm saying? God blessed them. You can't get around it. He blessed them. Okay, now, we jump over to Psalm 1. And by the way, what I'm sharing with you tonight is, it's just an introduction to this whole concept. This is not the introduction to a series I'm teaching. This is me showing you what God has said in His Word relative to how we unlock His blessings. You know, where are the blessings of God? Well, they're out there. Because the moment God speaks, and He speaks this blessing, see, He can't take it back. Because, number one, He can't lie. And number two, He said, my word, when it goes forth from my mouth, it will not return void. It will accomplish what I sent it forth to accomplish. So when we get into the Bible and we see anything in there where it talks about God has blessed, well, then that blessing is there. It's out there. Okay, look here in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man. Now stop right there. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. So this is God speaking. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Notice this process. First he's walking, then he stops and he stands and he's listening. Then he says, gee, this sounds pretty good. So he decides to sit down and listen even more. God says, blessed is the man who doesn't do that. However, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, or the word of God, and in his law, in his word, doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, this is a blessing of God that is irrevocable. So therefore, how do I activate or unlock this? First off, you say, you know, well, what is the blessing? Okay, what difference does it make? Every good and perfect gift, okay? What difference? Well, the thing is, I want to know if this is, you know, a blessing that I want in my life. It's from God. Seriously? Remember? Maketh increase, you know, no sorrow with it. You know, why would you not want the blessing, whatever it is? You know, if this were a game show and God were to say, okay, which door do you want? Door number one, door number two, door number three. It wouldn't matter. Each one is a winner. So no matter what you pick, you win. So here he says, blessed is the man that doesn't hang around false teaching and all that other junk, but his delight, in other words, he makes a decision to set his affection on things above. His delight is in God's Word, and in God's Word does he meditate day and night. And you know what? He's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, going to bring forth fruit. His leaf won't wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. So, this is a good reason to meditate in Scripture. Because God has said, blessed is the man who will meditate in my word. Whatever he does will prosper. So you can actually begin meditating in Scripture with ulterior motives. Let's see here. God said, if I meditate, I'm going to be blessed. Okay, I'm going to meditate just so I get the blessings. Well, see, God's kind of sneaky in this because he knows if you meditate in Scripture, a whole lot more than just blessings will take place. In fact, you'll get to the point of realizing the greatest blessing is a comprehension of the Word of God. But for right now, you know, let's just go at it with a blessing. Yeah, meditate the word, man. I'm going to get blessed. So he says, look, if you do this, you're blessed. Meditate in my word, you will be blessed. It's very simple. Okay, let's go forward. Look at some more. Look in Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Well, everybody says they trust God when everything's going fine. But it's when stuff starts falling apart.
Well, I thought I was supposed to be blessed.
Well, are you trusting God?
Well, yeah, can't you tell?
No, I can't. He says, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that trusts me. You trust the Lord. It's not a matter of I trust you after I receive whatever it is I need. No, just trust me. Trust me. Trust me. All you have to do is trust me and you're blessed. That's it. In other words, you don't have to serve me. All you have to do is trust me. Because there's a mentality in the body of Christ, if I don't do, God won't bless. And God is saying, well, according to this, if you just simply trust me, you will be blessed. That means you can be sitting at home doing nothing. You know, watching Andy Griffith reruns or something, just sitting at home, but in a place of where you're trusting God. You're trusting Him. And He says, okay, you know what? Your trust in me activates this blessing. And again, what's the blessing? Who cares? It is a blessing from God. And He says, your trust in me activates this blessing. Look in Psalm 40. Now this one kind of takes the previous a step further. He says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. I read this, Psalm 40 verse 4. I read this. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and blessed is the man that respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. I'm thinking, as I'm reading this, there are so many Christians who have eliminated themselves from this blessing, and the proof is what they post on Facebook. Out of the abundance of the heart, stupidity comes forth and is subsequently posted on Facebook. Seriously, I read this, and I know it is a generalized statement, but relative to what's happening right now, so many Christians are buying into lies about what is happening in the government. So many Christians are not, they're not using common sense at all, no logic, none. I'm thinking, how can you be such a dimwit? Because you're that way by choice. You know, oh my goodness. He says, and respecteth not the proud. There are Christians, again, using what's going on here of late, there are Christians who are respecting the proud, the prideful. And it is so obvious what's happening. You know, and this is not a political thing, but this verse applies. And so therefore Christians are removing themselves from this blessing. They're exalting the proud and the lies above the standards of God's word. And God is saying, well, you know what? I'm telling you, you'll be blessed if you don't do that. But if you do that, you're removing yourself from this blessing. See, here's the thing. When we do what we see written here in Scripture, we don't have to work for a blessing. God has already said, you're blessed if this, such and such, whatever. You're blessed. So that means I just trust Him or whatever we're reading, and the blessings start coming. They can't not come because God spoke it. And He said, this is what will happen. All right, look at another place. In Psalm 65. Psalm 65. Now look here. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Well, you say, okay, well, what is the blessing in this verse? Well, he tells you, it's a broad description, but he says that we will be satisfied with the goodness of his house and of his holy temple. And somebody could come along and say, well, yeah, but it says, blessed is the man whom God chooses. Well, how do I know that he's chosen me and causes me to approach unto him? I mean, how do I know that's me? That might not be me. So I might be disqualified. Well, okay, fair question. Leave your finger here and first turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Now, while you're turning to John chapter 8, I'm going to remind you of what he said here in Psalm 65. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. All right, now, in John chapter 8, look at verse 35. Jesus says, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So he's telling us here that as God's children, we are already abiding in the house. Now look over in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And take a look in, we'll just look at one verse. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. He says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And over in Hebrews, he says that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. So therefore, blessed is the man, back in Psalm 65, verse 4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest. We're choosest. He's chosen us. Though every person, every Christian, everyone who's born again, we fit this category of being chosen. And he says, blessed is the man that God has chosen, well, that's us, and causes to approach unto thee. Well, he already told me to come boldly before the throne of grace. Therefore, he says that we can dwell in his courts, we'll be satisfied with the goodness of his house, even of his holy temple. In other words, he's talking about his presence. He's talking about his presence. See, we do not esteem being in his presence the way we should. In his presence is fullness of joy. I mean, there's a lot about what happens when we are in his presence. And he's saying here, blessed is the man. Let me kind of just paraphrase this. Those of you who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I, God the Father, have chosen you. And because I have chosen you, I am telling you that if you make a decision to dwell in my presence, there is a blessing that is released unto you. So, like our praise and worship. When we enter into that worship, because we want to, because we choose to, do you realize we are unlocking blessings into our life? And it's not simply a matter of, oh, I felt God tonight. Boy, it was good tonight. Boy, Jamie did a good job tonight. I mean, last week, I don't know, but boy, tonight, boy, she was really on. She's always on. She praises and worships. She comes up here and has a praise and worship session with Jesus and invites us to join her. So we enter in, and guess what? We're going to be blessed. You can't leave and say, well, that wasn't that great tonight, unless you choose not to enter in. But you choose to enter in, and God is saying, okay, you've just unlocked a blessing. Okay, well, what blessing is it? Once again, what difference does it make? It is a blessing that God says you activate by being in my presence. Now look over in Psalm 84. To carry this just a little bit further, in Psalm 84, verse 5, Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. The ways of what? Well, the ways of God, His Word, His principles, His standards, what is revealed in Scripture. And He says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Well, we were just talking about that in what we saw just a few moments ago. He says, they will be still praising thee. Why is that? Well, because when we're dwelling, we'll be praising. And the reason is because we'll know His presence. See, when you truly are seeking after the presence of God, you're going to realize, I don't have anything that I can complain about, because God is greater than any situation that I could complain about. So therefore, when you're in His presence, you begin to sense His greatness. Look, I can tell you this. I don't care how stinky your life is. I don't care how bad everything seems. I don't care, you know, what burns you. When you come together with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you begin worshiping the Lord with all that is within you, and you make that decision, you're going to praise Him, I'm telling you, you start forgetting about all the junk. You start forgetting about all of the yuck. You start forgetting about all of the, I don't even want to be here tonight. You start forgetting about all of that, because the presence of God begins ministering His peace and His joy to you. And when the service is over, you'll leave and you'll be wondering, why was I so upset? This is not that big of a deal. God is working it out. Well, look over in Psalm 94. Psalm chapter 94, and begin reading in verse 11. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. Look at this. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. That means when God brings correction into our lives, there's a blessing that comes with it. And, you know, over in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 5, we see kind of an expansion on this. And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now, a lot of people will take this chastening and, well, you know, I was just messing up, so God had to break my leg. Well, you know, I had some sin in my life, so God pushed me off the roof the other day. Well, you know, been using some bad language, yes, you know, just here for a while, and God had to get on me and had my mother-in-law move in. So, boy, I'm being chastened. Boy, I tell you, am I being chastened? That's not how it works. That's not the chastening. Here's why. Because broken legs and mother-in-law I mean, they can't enable you to be a partaker of His holiness. You see this? What is the chastening? Very simply, when out of His Word, usually through the mouth of an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, He points out how wrong your doctrine is. And that's not always fun. Because when you realize that you've been wrong for however long, you now are at a crossroads. You're either going to drop the wrong, embrace the right, or you're going to continue to be wrong. You see, it's one thing to be deceived, but when a lie is exposed and you continue to hold on to it, you now are the Book of Proverbs fool. And in essence, well, a fool says in his heart, there is no God. In essence, you're telling God, all right, yeah, I hear what you're saying. However, you know what? I don't accept it as being the ruling authority in my life. Indirectly, you're saying there is no God, even though you're saying there's a God. Well, if there's a God, don't you think you ought to think twice about what He says? And so therefore, you know, you go back over here to Psalm 94, and He says, blessed is the man whom Thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of Thy law, or teachest him out of Your word. You know, just think about this. There's a good chance every single one of us in here grew up believing in Santa Claus. Well, there come a point in time where we were chastened, if you will, when mom and dad said, guess what? We have been lying to you for the last 25 years. There is no Santa Claus. Yeah, that razor we gave you last year, it didn't come from Santa Claus, it came from us. You see, when we're corrected out of His Word, that is what leads us to living in His holiness. Continuing with this, look in Psalm 112. Psalm 112. Beginning in verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments, or in His word. Now, beginning in verse 2, we're going to be reading a description of the blessing. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. We're reading a description of the blessing, tangible and inner, if you will. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn or his strength shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Now, again, relative to what's happening in our country now, the wicked are seeing a turn in the direction of righteousness, and they are greatly grieved. They are gnashing with their teeth. As far as I know, right now, that's just a figure of speech. But I seriously would not be surprised to hear that in the middle of a riot, a bunch of people started chewing on someone who voted for Donald Trump. Now, you think that's kind of weird, but do you remember what happened with Stephen? They couldn't handle the truth. They rushed him and began gnashing on him with their teeth. Is that not weird or what? Well, anyway, Here we see the Lord is telling us, blessed is the man that fears me and delights in my word, and look at what's going to manifest in his life. And not only that, but what happens is not going to be in secret, but these blessings are going to start manifesting in front of other people. And folks, some of them aren't going to like it. Because it's going to prove your commitment to Jesus Christ has been right all along. Some people, man, they would rather be wrong than admit to the truth. And they'd rather suffer the consequences. Well, look over and back up. Psalm 8. Psalm 8. And in Psalm 8, look at, oops, this isn't right. I was going to tell you to look at verses 34 and 35. Guess what? Somebody left them out. So let's just move on to Jeremiah 17. That's funny. It's like, yeah, you're the pastor. Uh-huh. You know what you're talking about. Yeah. I'll be back next week. Uh-huh. Sure. Jeremiah 17. Now, this one I found really interesting because God, in this passage we're going to read, He is presenting both sides of this. Now look here. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. In other words, it doesn't matter the conditions, it doesn't matter what's going on, you're going to make it. So, and I found this one really, like I said, interesting. He's saying, okay, cursed is the man who trusts man. Blessed is the man who trusts me. And how are you going to get around this? Well, easy. You can just say, well, I just don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Because the moment you say that you believe the Bible is the Word of God is the moment that you are acknowledging you are in agreement with a passage like this. And that means, okay, I guess I better not trust man for everything that I need. Look over in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now you might say, okay, well, I did pretty good today. You know, I was tempted like 12 times. And I said no every time. Isn't that cool? Yeah, well, you know what? There'll be more temptations tomorrow, next week, next month. In other words, let me say it like this. Blessed is the man that lives according to who he has become in Christ. For he shall not yield to temptation. Then when he stands before the Lord in judgment, he shall receive the crown of life. Here we see a blessing specifically identified. Now, what's the opposite of this? Unblessed is the man who does not live by who he is in Christ, yields to temptation over and over and over. He shall not receive the crown of life. Whenever you, like I've shared before, if there's a positive, there's a negative. And we just read an example of that in Jeremiah. Cursed is the man who trusts man, blessed is the man who trusts God. Very simple. Here we're seeing a similar example. Now, one more place. Psalm 133. And we're looking at this one for the obvious, but also for the emphasis. Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. In other words, let's say it like this. Blessed are the people who refuse to get into strife and who work to maintain unity among themselves. See, unity does not mean that there is equal understanding of the Word of God, because we're all at different levels of understanding Scripture. We're all learning. But unity includes things like forgiveness, love, unconditional forgiveness, unconditional love, being willing to, let me just create one, being willing to sing in the choir instead of singing the solo during the Christmas cantata. Well, I can sing better than her. They'll let me sing. Well, you think you can sing better. Everybody's an opera star in the car and in the shower, all right? When we're walking in unity, that means I make a decision to get along with you. I will not enable raunchy, foolish, etc. behavior, but I also will walk in unity with you. Do you understand what I'm getting at? I can walk in unity with someone. You know, what fellowship hath light with darkness? I can walk in unity with you and not have fellowship with you. Because it doesn't mean I'm being mean to you. It just means, you know what walking in unity is? Living by the standard of God's Word. I mean, really, that's what it comes down to. Living by what God has said in His Word. If I do that, I'm walking in unity with you. We may not be walking in fellowship, but I'm walking in unity with you. And I hope you understand the difference of what I'm saying here. What we have done tonight is gone through just a very few scriptures where the word blessed has been used. Now, what you can do is use your computer program, your concordance, whatever, and do more research in this area of the words blessed, bless, blessing, blessings, plural. Just start looking through Scripture where God has used that word in conjunction with Him speaking something over us. Now, in some places you'll see like, and Moses blessed the people. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about blessings that are specifically connected to what God has said relative to people. And when you see that in Scripture, you're going to find where God has made a promise to you that cannot be revoked. It's impossible. So if we do what He is saying, we activate those blessings and unlock them into our lives. They show up. Regardless of what they are, they will be good and perfect gifts from our Father above. But this is how you unlock the blessings of God. You know, it's amazing to me how some Christians think they can just live any way they want to, harbor unforgiveness, just be in rebellion, and then expect God's blessings to be poured out in their lives. When God has made it very clear, look, you know, you have to trust me. You have to, if you will just make a decision that you delight in my word. And on he goes. What we've seen tonight and all the things we didn't see. He says, I've already said you're blessed. That means this blessing is waiting to manifest in your life. I've spoken it. It's out there. I can remember years ago, when I was growing up in church, there was an old hymn that we sang It's called showers of blessings. You know, showers of blessings we need, or something like that. And, you know, mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Okay. Showers of blessings. Okay, think of this. Where do showers come from? They come from clouds, right? The clouds are in the sky, and we're waiting for the showers. God has spoken the blessings. So think of it this way. There are blessing clouds out there, and they are just ready to open up and shower our lives. Praise God.